preaching and teaching Christ from all of Scripture. This is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon.
What kind of government in the life of the church did the Lord put in place that is designed to help you, dear listener, grow in your faith? Why is it so important, Apostle Paul, that we listen carefully to the qualifications for elders and deacons? The one office that often gets kicked to the curb in its view and importance is the office of deacon. The diaconate is a glorious office that the Lord gave to demonstrate the mercy of Jesus Christ to fallen sinners, to help them in their needs, to show compassion to people in their weariness. It's an office of love and an office that we have not appreciated in the Christian church. Why did God give deacons, and why does it matter so much to Him that this office function correctly and with men who demonstrate the biblical qualities? This matters a lot to our Lord today on Abounding Grace. We're going to look at the glorious office of the deacon. Thanks for tuning in today to Abounding Grace. We invite you to visit us on the web at agradio.org, agradio.org. All of these programs are there, free for download, maps to churches in your areas, and a way there to support us if you wish. 100% of your support goes to continue to bring Abounding Grace Radio to you. We have some exciting possibilities of taking Abounding Grace into Central and South America, and possibly in the future to Africa. So if you are a supporter of Abounding Grace, you're contributing to a great cause to make known the gospel of Jesus Christ over the airwaves so that sinners would hear the gospel and hear the Lord's answer to all of the brokenness and misery that we see, that they would enjoy forgiveness. Thanks for supporting the program. Here is that program today on Abounding Grace. We're looking at the office of deacon. So I have called this Called to the Ministry, the Office of Deacon. You can find that there on the website. We hope this helps you to appreciate what God has put in place, dear listener, to be a spiritual benefit for you.
It's a true story that in World War II, when the Netherlands were occupied by the Germans, the deacons of a Reformed church took the responsibility there to care for the persecuted, supplying food and providing secret refuge for them. And the Germans caught wind of this and made a decree that the office of deacon should be eliminated. You imagine if the office of deacon was legislated against, what would we lose? They had a synod meeting in 1941, and here's what came out of the synod of the Dutch Reformed Church. Whoever touches the diaconate interferes with what Christ has ordained as the task of the church. Whoever lays hands on diaconia lays hands on worship. Fascinating. I raised that tonight because we're considering the qualifications of the office of deacon. And this office, as I said, in my humble opinion, has been sort of the second-rate office when it comes to the office of elder, and not appreciated as it should be. It is a rather sad development that in the life of the church, we have come to view these offices as sort of a step thing. And rarely do we put people in the office of elder unless we think they have first been tested in the office of deacon. Then we think down the road they might be worthy enough to get in the office of elder. That's not really the approach we find in the scriptures, even though that has been a common mentality among our churches. But it's a very wrong view. The office is often treated with less dignity and less honor than the office of elder, which simply is not true. It would be interesting to survey what people think tonight the office of deacon primarily is. He is often represented as somebody who just takes care of the money or is the money counter in the church and the administrator who keeps the lights on and the air conditioning going. And boy, do we need that now. My goal tonight is to give us a fresh appreciation of the office of deacon. I hope we don't look at this and think, oh, that's just not that exciting of a subject. It's immensely important and matters so much to our Lord. Oh, it matters so much to our Lord that the Lord gives weighty qualifications for the office. So what I want to do tonight is look at first simply two things I want to accomplish. It's simply to look at what a deacon is and then to look at what a deacon should be, looking at the qualifications, especially as you anticipate elections in the very near future. The word deacon is, you know, the Greek word diakonos, that is quite significant in and of itself that it is given that word when Paul says, let the deacons be this. It is singling out certain men in the life of the church who have a desire to serve in a different kind of matter, a specific kind of service. The word itself means to serve at tables. To serve at tables. It has a connection back to the Old Testament Levite. In the old sacrificial system, the Levites were called to serve at the altar, making sacrifices of what the people brought to the Lord. You remember that. So the descendants of Levi were set apart specifically to prepare the people's offerings for sacrifice on the altar. They would be about that kind of service, and a very important kind of service. They were in charge of serving and preparing these sacrifices to make offerings for sin and other blessings. So there's a direct connection of the office of deacon right back to the Old Testament Levite. The word meaning serve at tables takes on a very special function in the life of the local church. Where did this all start for us? Where do we get a basis for this? Well, you know, Acts 6 becomes a very important passage in looking at the origination of this office in the New Testament church. You know the passage. Now, in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. Then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, it is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. There it is. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you seven men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude. Well, you can learn a lot about the office right there, what its design was and what a deacon was supposed to be. At this point in the early church, the church was flourishing. And in the book of Acts, we're seeing its development to the ends of the earth, it going out the gospel to the ends of the earth. But a particular problem had happened along the way, and there was a great dispute in the church. In Acts 6, you had the Greek-speaking Jews complaining that in the daily distribution of food and care for the widows, the Hebrew widows were getting better treatment than the Hellenists, the Greek-speaking Jews. So what was the answer? Well, the 12 got together and they said, look, it's not desirable that we should leave the word of God in prayer to serve tables. So we need another office here. We need something that would be beneficial to meet the needs of the people. We can't neglect the ministry of the word and sacrament. The teaching ministry of the church cannot afford to be compromised. We need to give ourselves to prayer, which is something important to say for the office of elder, isn't it? Word of God and prayer. And if we give ourselves, they thought, to the table ministry, then these things will suffer. So they appointed men and they sought out from among themselves seven men full of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom to be appointed over this business of table service. So here we're looking at the importance of distinguishing the offices, and this is what Paul is essentially doing here in 1 Timothy chapter 3, as now he addresses specifically the office of deacon. What is the purpose of deacons? Why do we have deacons? Well, it's very clear that the purpose of the entire office of deacon was to supply a different kind of service and need that would allow and free the elders to be given to the ministry of the word. We've seen this sort of approach in the New Testament writers of emphasizing the importance of this, that John says, listen, let us not love just in word, but also in deed. The office of deacon is an added gift to the church that Christ gave so that we can show love in deed. That complements the work of the elders and takes up the responsibility of tending to the needs of people, of helping people. Why does that matter so much? I could say a lot about this tonight, but the deacons represent Christ's care for the poor. How much did he tell us about the poor? How much did he tell us about the needy? How much did he love them? How much did he help them? How many times was Jesus out laying his hands on the sick? How many times was Jesus out feeding people whom he saw that didn't have food? You remember the multitudes. They're scattered. I'm concerned for them. How many times did he help people who were severely messed up? The diaconate was set apart to show the people what mercy looked like. What mercy looked like. To distribute to the needy and the poor these gifts that come from people who have thankful hearts. It's an office of intense servanthood, if you will. It's trench work. It's getting the hands dirty. It's being willing to get your hands dirty in the service of others. That's a thing that society rarely sees. Our society is all about our own individual advancement. Our society is about us. I said narcissism in the prayer. We're all about us. We'd rarely think about others. That was the common saying of the time. Plato even once said, how can a man be happy when he has to serve somebody? Can you really be happy serving? The answer is yes. In essence, the office here is based upon and given through Christ's loving care for people, for the needy. Remember what Jesus said, whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant. And whoever of you desires to be first shall be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many. Christ loves his church. He loves you so much that He continues to want you to receive the kind of same selfless care and love. He wants his people to continue to see that go on in the life of his body, that they're nourished and cared for. And so he desires to see that continually carried out in his church. In his absence, he sets up an office to demonstrate that so that we all would have that mindset. Remember, that's the goal of these offices. It's not that these are the super elite. It's that these are the people whom the Lord has given these gifts to model it so that everyone would strive for this. That everyone would want this. That everyone would want to become a servant in this way. Can you imagine if we had a church full of servants that exemplified what we're about to look at? Oh, it'd be a powerful, powerful place of word, sacrament, and then a deed, a loving of people in this kind of way. I want men set apart in the life of the church who exhibit continually the kind of self-giving love that I have shown to you in giving myself, says Christ. That's the whole intent here. I want the church nourished. I want needs met. I want cups of cold water given in my name. Remember, that's what's raised on the last day. I did all that for you. I did all that for you. So I want you now to go do that for my brethren. Remember on the cross, Jesus is dying. And he looks at his mom and he looks at John and he says, behold, your mother, you take her, you care for her, you provide for her. I want that spirit. I want my care continually put on display. I want it made known that you are a group bound together by love. It's an office of love. R.B. Kuyper once said in his book, The Glorious Body of Christ, deacons represent Christ in his office of mercy, and the exercise of mercy certainly entails the consoling of the distressed. The diaconate is rightly described as an office of love. That's what a deacon is. Now, with that in mind, we turn and look at some of these qualifications here tonight. I won't be able to go into any, largely any real depth into all of these, but I want to give sort of the big picture so you understand the importance and look somewhat at these so that you understand what the Lord has put in place and why it's so important that we do not view this office as the caboose on the train. Verse 8, the apostle begins, likewise, you notice there, deacons likewise must be dignified. Dignified. Great word. He says, I want you to look at the character of the man who you're considering, but I want you to look at it in a kind of different manner, a different way than you did the elder. He begins with dignified, which is telling us something about the nature of the office itself. The word dignified here means worthy of great respect when you look at his behavior. He has an observable behavior. He's a serious-minded man. So when you're looking at this man, you know him to be one by his actions. They are respectable. It's a noble man. It's a man that you think, man, that is a servant right there if I've ever seen one. Now, this quality, remember the sort of quality that launched all the other qualities into all the other qualities was an elder had to be blameless. This word dignified functions in the same way. From this great overarching quality, everything else follows to explain what a dignified deacon looks like. You know a dignified man. He's not a child. I believe that we sort of treat the office of deacon as the office where we could put the younger man in, since the office of elder means older, therefore the young guy should go in the deacon. That is not necessarily the case at all. In fact, I would encourage us to fill it not just with younger men, but with older men. We need older men in this office. A dignified man is something that often comes and is earned with age. Testing. We'll look at that in a moment. Testing. Paul raises here for this office testing first. So from dignified, he explains then how you can discern if a man is dignified and set apart for this. Sometimes the best thing to do when you're looking at somebody is tell him what he should not be. And he does that with three qualifications that follow to say this is what he should not be. Three negatives. He is beginning with not double-tongued. It gives the sense of insincerity in speech, saying one thing and doing another. It's double talk. He's engaged in double talk. And then he goes on, not addicted to wine and not greedy for dishonest gain. Those are one ways it's said. Our translation says, yeah, not addicted to wine, not greedy for dishonest gain. It's not a love for money, we'll go on and say in a moment. All of these issues here, these three negatives, have to do with the sincerity of the man. Sincerity. And remember what I said earlier. These are things every Christian should aspire to. This is sanctification and holy living at its best. That's why I love studying this. This is what every Christian should be aspiring to. You need exemplary men in this position to model this and pattern this for the body. So notice here what he does. If a man is double-tongued, he's a flatterer. He says one thing and does the other. You imagine that in the office of deacon? That's the worst kind of character flaw for the office. How could someone have sincere care for people who flatters with the mouth but never makes good on the care? who flatters with empty promises, but really is not out there really helping. Sincere words with love and sincerity win people. And if the office is designed to bring healing, you see how important the tongue is. The tongue is vital for the office. The tongue and sincerity of speech is everything. The deacon is called to give constantly a word of encouragement to the broken. A word. You could go on, if the deacon's enslaved to alcohol. You understand that? This is an office that's intended, and you're going to find people who face these problems left and right, whose lives have been wrecked by these abuses. How can a man do that if he's given to it? The same is true with the third negative quality, not greedy, you'll notice here, for money or dishonest gain. You see the value of that qualification, that he's dealing with the monies of the church and the people's gifts in the life of the church. Money's not the root of all evil, but the love of it is. And if he loves it, how in the world is he going to rightly help those when he's dealing with other people's money? So, if he can't handle these desires, if there's insincerity in these things, he's not a man for the office. So you're looking at character again. Character, character, character. Remember what I said? We all look at gifting first. Character, 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 from which gifting will flourish. And I believe Paul summarizes this importance by saying next that you should look at the man's ability to not discriminate. I love the next quality. Something we all should be so caring about, and that's verse 9. They must hold the mystery of faith with a clear conscience. I love that. I absolutely love that quality. Paul tells us what that is. All throughout the New Testament, he calls it the mystery of the faith. The best definition of it is given in Ephesians chapter 3. When you read this, you can perceive, and here it is, my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. You say, what in the world does that have to do? Well, a lot. How did the office originate? Under what kind of problem? The Hellenists were being discriminated against. Remember? The Hellenists complained because the Hebrew women got better treatment. Paul tells us in the New Testament, the mystery is God's opened the door to all tribes, tongues, peoples, and nations. Those boundaries, ethnic boundaries, racial boundaries, those boundaries that we raise even between men and women, not in terms of serving in the office, but in terms of salvation, he's ripped that down. All this unfair treatment has gone on in the history of the church. Here's the mystery. The mystery is Jesus has opened the door to everyone. Every different kind of people. Now, do you see how important that would be for the diaconate? You can't show favoritism. We've had have to long to help all recognizing that Christ is building his church from every tribe, tongue, people, and nation, and holding the mystery of faith with a clear conscience is absolutely integral to the office and design of Christ's ministry of mercy. Clear conscience on this. Because the fact is, few seem to understand this mystery. We show partiality. I mean, James warns about it in different ways, that we show partiality with the rich. We give them the best seats. We honor them in society. And the common problems in the church are those who are different from us, we shun. We have people who are stable and people who are not so stable. And what is our attitude? Well, we know these people. Here, let me give you the attitude. They don't change. They don't change. One problem after another. And we see people who have needs, and what is easily the deacon's first question that can happen? Well, we need to open the books. Or if someone walks in off the street that has been had a pattern of we have of concern about them, our first thought is they won't change. We know these people, they work the system. See why sincerity matters? What if they do work the system? Shouldn't we help them? Bitter spirit develops, and we can easily just throw money at people, I guess, with a passive-aggressive spirit, but not really invested to love and help. I've seen more debates in deacons, among deacons in the years, over going the cheap route, always going for whatever's easiest, whatever's best, the cheap route, you know? Good enough, good enough, good enough, good enough. That's the spirit. What happens if you look at that situation? What often develops in the diaconate is a ministry of scrutiny and no longer a ministry of mercy. It's a ministry of mercy. But we should have men who are so eager to help broken people. Listen, if you didn't have any of these problems of people messing up their lives with alcohol use and money problems, you wouldn't even need the office of deacon. You understand that? If you didn't have these problems, you wouldn't need the office of deacon. It's a ministry of mercy to messed up people, and we're all messed up. The deacons have to be shining lights when it comes to showing mercy to the down and outs.
Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Call us toll free at 888-504-8805. That's 888-504-8805. Contact us through the web at agradio.org. That's agradio.org. We're on Facebook. Look for Abounding Grace Radio Ministry. Listen daily on this station and subscribe in iTunes or use our free Android app. We trust this program has encouraged you to trust in Christ for your standing with God and to live in His abounding grace.